I was once at a Sheva Brachos and heard the following great question. The Torah states that a slave who likes his master and chooses to remain with him rather than walk free must have a hole drilled through his ear. We grab him, we drag him over to a doorpost, and we drill a hole through his ear. Rashi explains that we are telling the slave that his ear that heard the words at Har Sinai beckoning him to be a slave of Hashem and only Hashem should not be willfully accepting a human master upon himself, and therefore it deserves a hole drilled right through it. The question is glaring. What did the ear do wrong exactly? The ear was the only organ in his entire body that actually did the job it was supposed to do. It sat at Har Sinai and it listened to whatever was being said. Why don't we drill a hole through the slave's hands, which stole and got him into slavery in the first place? Or why don't we drill a hole through his forehead for not internalizing the lessons he learned at Har Sinai? Why are we picking on the ear, which did precisely the job it was supposed to do? So the Imre Emes, one of the previous Ger Rebbes, gives the following answer. True, the slave's hands are at fault, and true, his brain is at fault, but had this slave been careful with what went into his ear, he would never have trouble internalizing what he heard. Had this slave been careful to stay clear of Lashon Hara, gossip, his ears would have remained pure and would have enabled the slave to hear the powerful words uttered at Har Sinai. Steering clear of speaking and hearing Lashon Hara is what keeps our ears holy and in turn enables us to properly absorb the lessons the Torah teaches us. When we were running for our lives, getting out of Egypt, getting out of Mitzrayim, the thousands of dogs that inhabited Egypt did something remarkable. They didn't let out a single bark. Not one. As sort of a salute, when we left, they sat in silence instead of barking. Now, we know the Torah rewards the dogs for their respect by stating that any food that we Jews cannot halachically consume should be thrown specifically to dogs. The question is why the frogs in Egypt didn't receive a similar sort of reward. During the second Makkah, the second plague, the frogs terrorized the Egyptians and even went so far as jumping into Egyptian ovens. Why is there no mention of reward for them? Why isn't there some form of reward for those frogs, much like there are for the dogs? The Kutzker Rebbe explains that in life, it is sometimes easier to jump into a fiery furnace than to keep one's mouth shut. Avraham jumped into a furnace to avoid bowing to idols, and the Torah makes no mention of it. And yet, Avraham serves three Arab wanderers a meal, and the Torah recounts every single detail, the entire story from beginning to end. Why? Explains the Kutzker. The Torah wants us to go out of our comfort zone. Avram was a man of pride. He was a man that exuded confidence in his convictions. He was firm as a rock. To a certain degree, jumping into the furnace is what one would expect him to do. On day three of his Mila, on the other hand, on day three of his Mila recovery, Avram was in extraordinary pain. It was excruciatingly hot, and yet he ran to serve the three heirs with zealousness and glee, completely disregarding his tremendously uncomfortable state. The ability to keep one's mouth shut from speaking Lashon Hara goes against one's natural comfort zone. Plugging one's ears when a friend is saying Lashon Hara requires doing something one doesn't want to do. But it is also what separates the men from the boys, the ability to act correctly, even when it is contrary to what the peanut gallery has determined as status quo is the ultimate praise a man can get. When we drill that hole in the servant in the slave's ear, we are telling the slave that far too many unholy things entered that ear and should have been filtered out. We are telling the slave that had he been courageous enough to stop the slander and to stop the gossip around him, he would have had ears that could properly listen to the ethics of the Torah. Allowing our ears to remain submerged in the mud of the gossipers and the coffee room dwellers prevents our ears from rising to hear the sweet sounds of the pure Torah. A man courageous enough to stand up for what is right, even at the expense of awkwardly shutting down gossip-mongering conversations, is a man with special, holy ears. Let me tell you a story. Once, in the Punovich Yeshiva, a bachur got up to do Hagba, and the unthinkable happened. He dropped the Sefer Torah. Being that this happened in a room with around 1,000 people in it, it immediately became the talk of town. What's wrong with him? He's such a weakling. He'll never get a shidduch. After a few days of this, Reb Shach, the Rosh Yeshiva, walked into the middle of the room, in the middle of Seder, banged on the bima, and said in a thunderous cry, "It's better to drop a Sefer Torah by accident 10 times than to listen to one word of Lashon Hara once." Our ears are our roadway to our souls. If we filter them well, our souls soar. If we don't, we end up a slave to the gossip mongers of society. And if history has taught us a thing or two, those people make terrible masters. Better to plug the ear and live the high life with one master and one master only, the one above.